Well, good morning. We are in Psalm chapter 3, and I'm excited to begin to jump into this. I want to give you just a heading for a few of the psalms that we're going to study together, that these are psalms of trust and confidence. So that as we study through the psalms, we're grouping some different psalms together to give you hopefully a Rolodex, a sense that you can run to these. Because what the Psalms do is they don't just tell us things, they actually give us words. And so Psalm 3 can become your prayer, your cry, your words back to God to remind yourself of the trust and confidence that you can have in the Lord. And so that's my hope in this. And so we're going to be looking at trust and confidence. But as we jump into this, then I just want to read just the heading of Psalm 3, and these are headings that I believe the compiler that took all these psalms and compiled them into a book, the compiler put these headings in as a helpful guide for us to help us gain a little bit of insight into what's going on. And so the psalmist here says, this is a psalm of David, the king, when he fled from Absalom, his son. And so it just gives us a little bit of a setting, which we're going to look at, that comes out of 2 Samuel 15 to 19. And that's the story of what was going on in David's life at this point. But David finds himself in a place where he's going, where do I run when trouble comes? Now, before we really jump into this, I think that we can all relate that my wife will cry out or call. There's these little bitty eight-legged things that every now and then show up around our house. And she goes, babe. And I know that when that cry comes, it means bring a shoe. Right? Like we know this, that there's certain voices and there's certain cries. I remember one of my kids got into a little altercation with a neighbor at one point, and there was my wife and I were inside the house, and I heard, Dad! And I was like, oh, that's serious. He's either broken something or he's in big trouble, right? That there was something going on that cried out because trouble had come. And so where do you cry out? Where do you run when trouble comes? We see this with kids. They get scared, and where are they going to run? To the place that brings them comfort. And that's what we see in this psalm, is that David is in a place of trouble. In 2 Samuel 15 to 18, then we get this story that David's son Absalom began to plot. And it says in the text that for 4 years, then Absalom would go to the gate of Jerusalem where the different tribes would come in. And if they had a grievance, they would come in through this gate, and Absalom would intersect them before they could actually get to the king's court. And he would say, oh, what's your grievance? And they would begin to tell him. And he's like, well, there's nobody in the palace to hear that. But if I were king, I would care. I would put someone to hear your grievances. And so they would go off. And it says that he began to win the hearts of the people. He began to steal their allegiance and their loyalty away from David, his dad, and to him. For 4 years, he plotted this. Then Absalom told a lie and said to David, let me go and offer sacrifice in Hebron. And so David blessed him and sent him, and there was a convoy of men that would go with him, and they went in ignorance. They didn't know the plot. And so they go to Hebron, and then from Hebron, then Absalom begins to send word out to all the people, come to me, I will give you a voice. And he begins to plot to overthrow David, his dad. Then word finally gets to David that Absalom has gathered the people and that they're going to come and overthrow him and that they will put him to death and that Absalom will take over as king. And so David flees. It's in this flight. It's in the depths of trouble that David penned this psalm. Let's read it and then we'll jump in. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, he says this, O Lord, How many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I laid down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of my many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Would you pray with me? And then we're going to jump in and unpack this. Lord, would you help us? Lord, that as David cried out to you, Lord, I pray that you might give us these words, that the cry of our heart would reach you, that you would be the one that we would cry out to, that you would be the one we would run to. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us through the truth of this psalm, that we might run to you in times of trouble. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look first at what I want to see in this verses 1 and 2 at the crisis. Let's just unpack a little bit more of this, that the psalmist here, David, is saying, oh Lord, he cries out to the Lord, the one who has all power, who has all authority, the one who is in control. And so he cries out to him, and look at what the crisis is. Many are my foes, many are rising against me, and many are saying things. That there's a progression here and just a overall glimpse that many, 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 this is a big problem. Many foes. This is all the people of Israel. These are all the different tribes. Many foes have gathered. But then it moves a progression that many of them not just are opposed to him, but many are rising against him, that there's action, that there's forward movement against him. And then this third thing is that after there's increasing trouble, then there's taunts. There's taunting him. That many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. That the taunt is pointed at David's hope and trust, that there is no salvation, that there is no saving of you, that the opposition is so great and too big that God cannot save you. Have you ever felt like that? There's too much, God. There's too much going on. I think it can be helpful for us as we study through Psalms that let's identify not just David's enemies, but what are our enemies? As followers of Jesus, as people who have trusted in God, who are our enemies? Well, the scripture would tell us that we've got three enemies, that we've got the world, the flesh, and the devil, which will set themselves against us. The world. The enemies of Christians is the world. What do we mean by that? Well, there's a world system. We live in a fallen world that has been affected by sin. That there's a world system that things function of sin and death and sickness. And we find ourselves within that. That maybe you're experiencing sickness. Maybe you're experiencing chronic illness. Maybe you're experiencing the things of this world that have let you down. And they war against you. They rise up against you and you begin to hear that voice. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. God can't save you from this. We also see the flesh war against us. That the things as believers that we put our faith in Christ and yet then we're still drawn to sin. We still have an inclination and a desire for the things that God says, those aren't good for you. And yet we still find ourselves going back to it. Anybody ever try to start a diet on Monday? You're like, why is there all the desserts in the fridge on Monday, right? That our flesh wars against us. Paul said it, the things which I don't want to do, I do, and the things which I do, I don't want to do. Who will save me from this body of death? That our flesh is an enemy to the things of God, and we find it rising up against us. We also see the devil. That behind these things, then Satan is scheming and working to destroy our faith. That our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces in the heavenly places. That we battle against Satan and his opposition to the things of God and to the people of God. We see from this beginning section the crisis that David was in trouble as David's king, and we should learn that as the people of God, we will find ourselves in trouble. That in this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, "Fear not, for I have overcome it." We shouldn't be shocked. I remember as a young Christian, I was like, man, if I just do what God's called me to and I do everything right, then I won't have trouble. No. That's not what the scripture says. That there is a war happening and we will find enemies opposed to us. So where will you run in times of trouble? The second grouping that we see here, it's separated by this word, S-E-L-A-H, Selah, Selah. In the Hebrew, there's no vowel, so we really, it's S-L-H. Some of the manuscripts are S-L-L. And so we really don't know, it's one of the few words in the Bible that we have no clue what it actually means. Just honestly, we don't know. That there's people that have guessed that this is a pause, that this is a break. These are psalms, and so the only place that we see this word is actually in the Psalms and also in Habakkuk 3. There's a psalm in Habakkuk, and we see it there. That this is most likely a musical term to either, which is a foreign language to me. I don't understand music. But it's something to lead us to either sing louder or to pause or that they would play louder. But I think it works for us, as many throughout church history have said, that this serves as a pause for us to think about what was just said. Think about the fact that in this life we are going to have trouble, and that many different things, they won't come in one at a time, but there will be mounted opposition to your faith, to your walk with the Lord, to your belief, which will seek to cause you doubt, which will seek to cripple you in fear, which will seek to sideline you from what God has called you to. Let's think about that a minute. Where will we turn? David gives us words. He moves us to the response of faith. It's the response of the righteous that we saw in Psalm 1, that the blessed man, what does the blessed man do? What does the righteous man do? What does the one with faith do? They cry out like this, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me from his holy hill." What we see in this is that David resorts back to objective truth. These are objective truths that David pulls from. And so let's just take them one by one. That the first thing he does is he opposes them with his own truth. That he fights back the opposition with truth. That you are a shield. This idea of a shield, we understand it, we know it. What's a shield for? A shield in these days would have been the shield which would have guarded and protected them from the arrows of long-range attacks. This also would have been a shield that would have guarded them and protected them from close-range swords and spears. That this is a mode of protection, that the Lord is a protection about me. That as the opposition has mounted all around, that the Lord is a protection all around. The Lord knows you. The Lord cares about you. The Lord protects you. He's a protection. He's a shield, but he's also my glory. Now, I just love this one because if we actually think about it a minute, that the Lord is our glory. The Lord is my glory. What in the world does that mean? That means that the Lord has attached his name and his reputation to you as a follower of Christ. The Lord is your glory. That he's not ashamed to be identified with you. You think about David, that David is the king of Israel, and David has now found opposition in his son who has chased him out of Israel. And yet, David combats all the lies, all the shame, all the guilt, all the thinking back, why, if I would have just done it different, if I would have been a better dad, if I just hadn't done this, if I just would have been more aware of that, if I just, he combats all the guilt, all the shame with, the Lord is my glory. He is who I live for, and he is the one in whom I care what his opinion is. The Lord is my glory. Not the reputation of the people around me, not my position as king of Israel. The Lord is my glory. Can you say that? If you lost everything, would the Lord be enough? If your reputation went to pot, is what the Lord thinks of you enough? The Lord is my glory. Amen. But you know what? He's also the lifter of my head. I love watching Little League, T-ball, things like that. You watch a kid get up there and he's going for the fence, right? Like he's hitting a home run, whiff, swings, misses, right? What immediately happens? Walks over to the dugout. What's he do? Mad, right? If you watch a good coach, he goes over and what does he do? He lifts his head, says, no, no, no. We may have lost that one, but we've got another chance. He's the lifter of my head. The Lord picks us up when we fail. We saw this in the gospel with Peter. Peter failed over and over and over. And what did Jesus continue to do? And bring Peter with you. He lifts our head. He says, let's go again. Let's get up. I'm not done. The Lord is the lifter of my head. It's not my circumstances have changed and therefore I can be proud again. No, the Lord picks us up from the heaps of despair. Verse 4, the other truth, I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered. That the Lord listens. He answered me from his holy hill. There would have been an object lesson for Israel that they would have had the hill of cursings and they would have had the hill of blessings. That the Lord answers him from his holy hill. The Lord hears your cries. The Lord listens and he answers. That these objective truths, that the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my glory, the Lord is the lifter of my head, and the Lord answered me. Those are the objective truths that David clings to. Those are the objective truths that you and I will have to cling to in times of trouble. But do you know the Lord to run to him like this? Because we run to the things that are most familiar and comfortable to us. Do you run to the Lord or do you run to, well, I can fix this. I'm smart enough. I've got myself out of every other problem. I've got resources and connections and people. I can run to those to fix it. I can run to my wealth. I can run to my influence. Or maybe you go, I can run and numb it. I'll just forget it exists. I'll run to alcohol to numb it. I'll run to work to numb it. I'll run to music to numb it. I'll run to eating to numb it. I'll run to whatever it is of your choice to numb your pain, to numb the reality of the circumstances that you find yourself in, to quiet the voices of doubt and fear. We run to the things that we find comforting. But Psalm 3 tells us, run to the Lord in your times of trouble. Look at the change of what happens. This is the peace of the presence of God. It's the objective truths that we see that lead to the subjective peace. Now, let me say that again. It's the objective truths that lead to the subjective peace. Verse 5 and 6. I laid down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. That we see this transition from the many in verse 1 and 2 to the many in verse 6, that the circumstances are the same, and yet everything has changed. Why? Because David has run to the Lord. And David knows that the Lord has heard his cries. Therefore, David can lay down and sleep. Sleep is one of the most precious things, right? Especially the older you get, or when you have young children. That to lay down and sleep means that there's peace. That instead of laying down, you can just imagine him. He's fled Jerusalem. He's out in the wilderness. He's got a small band of people with him who said, no, David, we're sticking with you. And so he's fled. And you can just imagine him looking up at the stars and going, man, they're looking for me. They're hunting me. That all of the people of Israel have been turned against me by my own son. And yet, because of the objective truth of who God is and what God does, David can close his eyes and sleep. He sleeps, and he reminds us that as he slept, the Lord sustained me. I woke up in the morning because the Lord sustained me. That word sustain there means an unceasing care. That the Lord never stopped caring for me. That's why I could lay down and sleep and wake up again. Because he never stops. He's faithful and steadfast. The objective truths of God's word lead to subjective peace despite the circumstances. The next thing that we see in our text here is that then David's cry changes. His cry to the Lord moves from, look at my circumstances, look at the foes against me, to now, Lord, fight for me. He says this in verse 7, arise, O Lord, be stirred to action on my behalf, Lord. Arise and save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. In a not so great a theologian, Mike Tyson, whenever he was asked about a fight, he said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Lord, move on my behalf. My son has plotted for years against me. Move on my behalf and thwart their plan. Strike the wicked of Psalm 1, those who are like chaff that the wind drives away, those whom will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Lord, be moved against those who are opposed to you and your people. He cried out that God would work on his behalf. And lastly, he's reminding us of this truth, that salvation belongs to the Lord. That no matter what we do, it's not ours. It belongs solely to the Lord. But in that salvation becomes a blessing to the many. That in God's salvation and in his rescue of the people of God, then it becomes a blessing to all the people. That God would move on our behalf in order to be a blessing to many. we see David's words as he cried out. But I think just to maybe conclude our time, let me point us to Jesus in this. You see, we have the opportunity and the invitation to run to Jesus because he's the interceder for us, because he's the one who walked this path perfectly for us. You see, Psalm 1 and 2, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation in him from God. Jesus, when he was put on mock trial and many opposed him, and he was put up on the cross and they mocked him and they cried out, he said he could save sinners, but he can't even save himself. If you're really the Son of God, then get down off of the cross, save yourself. There's no salvation for him. You see, Jesus experienced that. But he reminds us that you, O Lord, are a shield. That God the Father was the shield. That he was the lifter of the head. That he was the glory. That Jesus cries out to the Lord, quoting the Psalms, my God, why have you forsaken me? A psalm that leads us through an incredible descent to the valley of the shadow of death, but ends with the ascension, with the resurrection, with the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father, seated in the position of honor and power, who will rule and reign, that he cries out, and then Jesus laid down his life. He slept. He could sleep the sleep of death. It was a short sleep in order to secure the reality that for all of us, death has lost its sting. Because of the resurrection. That Jesus woke again after 3 days. He came out of the tomb. Why? Because the Lord sustained him. Then he cries out, arise. That cry of arise and that cry for justice is the cry of the saints. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Make all things right. You see, Jesus is sitting on the throne and he will come again. And when he comes, he will come in his glory and he will come in power and he will come in judgment. And he will judge the righteous and the wicked and all those who in faith will be invited in, because he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He is not ashamed to call them friends. But the wicked, they will receive judgment. It's that salvation that reminds us, where will you run in times of trouble? Will you run to Jesus, the one who has secured it for you? Or will you run to some other lie that will leave you empty, that will leave you wanting, and that will leave you in a worse state than you were before? Run to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you give us words to cry out, that as sickness, as pain, as suffering, as family relationships, as work dynamics, as all these different things mount against us, as the things of the world, as the things of our flesh, as the things of Satan come against us, Lord, we will have trouble. I know in this room that there are some here that are surrounded by enemies. But Lord, you are a shield about us. You are their glory. You are the lifter of their head. And you hear their cries and you answer. So Lord, would you arise? Would you move? Would you work? that as we run to you, God, we would see you faithful. We would see you steadfast. We would see you powerful. We ask in Jesus' name.